Welcome to the Radiant Podcast. We are so glad you joined us today. This podcast features messages, interviews, and discussions from Radiant Church located in Seneca, South Carolina. For more information about Radiant, visit radiantchurchsc.com. Here's today's episode.
Much, Pastor Andrew, and thank you to everybody that Crimson and I have had a chance to interact with this morning. Everyone's been just so friendly and so encouraging, and you may be confused. My wife's name is not Clemson, okay? I know that's what most people think, but she is not named after the Clemson Tigers. It's worse. She's named after the Crimson Alabama Tide, all right? So her dad's a big Alabama fan, and so he loved her so much and loved them so much that he named her after the football team. So just keep us in your prayers, because I am not an Alabama football fan myself. Unfortunately for you guys, I cheer for a team a little bit further south from here. Their colors are red and black. You can figure out which team that is. So are there any Georgia fans in the house? Nobody. All right. Well, don't hold it against me. All right. I am from Georgia. I actually grew up in South Georgia, but I promise I can read and write, so don't hold it against me. And I just want you guys to know that you guys won the national championship after a long drought before us, and I heard it from Clemson fans for years and years and years, and then we finally broke the curse, right? And so anyway, I'm just going to say go Dawgs once, and I'm going to move on. All right. But I didn't really come today to talk about myself. I came today to preach God's word. Who wants to hear God's word preached today? Amen? Okay. Awesome. So today's passage, it comes from Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, you can go ahead and flip there if you want to. We are going to be just going through about five verses mainly. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. And if you're kind of new to church or maybe new to the Bible, let me just kind of catch you up to speed about what the book of Acts is all about. We call the book of Acts, but really it's short for Acts of the Apostles. These are the events that happened in the early church after Jesus had died, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven. These are the events that took place with his followers, his disciples, the people who were sent out, the apostles. And so this is just the history of the church. Whether you grew up in a church like this, or you grew up Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic, every single Christian church in the world traces its roots back to the Acts of the Apostles. And so that's where we're going to be today, kind of somewhat in the middle, if you will. And we're going to be talking about what happens when the Holy Spirit tells you no. What happens when the Holy Spirit tells you no? That's what we're going to be in today. So let's go ahead and open up with the reading of the scripture. If you got it, you can follow along. We'll put it on the screens as well. But this is what it says. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden. Turn to your neighbor and say forbidden. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And then when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to a town called Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Before we go any further, I just want to say a quick word of prayer and ask the Lord that he would just continue to speak to us through his word today. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we love you. What an honor it is, God, that we get to worship you and celebrate you and all that you're doing in our lives. And God, I just pray over the next few moments as we dive into your word, Lord, that you would just speak to us in a way that, God, we know it's you. Would you just encourage us and challenge us as we focus on this part of your word today? In your name we pray, amen and amen. Have you ever had the perfect planned out, maybe it's a vacation, as Pastor Andrew just referenced, have you ever had the perfect plan for what you were going to do only for things not to go according to plan? Show of hands, anybody? Yeah, all of us. You've made plans, you've got the whole thing mapped out, you know where you're supposed to go, you know where you're supposed to stay, and then boom, something happens on your journey that is not according to plan. I'll never forget when I was in college, I went to a small Bible school right in the middle of Florida, right in central Florida, a town called Lakeland, and it was Thanksgiving break, and my dad and I were traveling back from Georgia. We're going down I-75 trying to get back to central Florida, and lo and behold, we hit terrible traffic. Not a surprise when you're on I-75 if you've kind of ever been through that area. but we hit really bad traffic in North Florida, kind of in the Ocala area, and we decided we were going to get off the interstate and take a slight detour to try to get away from that interstate traffic and end up in Lakeland. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I was born in the 1900s. Okay? Anybody else born in the 1900s? A couple people? Yeah, okay. Some of y'all are figuring that out. Yeah, if you were born before 2000, congratulations, we are old. You were born in the 1900s. So my dad and I, we pull over, and the reason I say how old I am is because we didn't have like a GPS. There was no GPS on your phone or anything like that. So we had to pull over, and we had to pull out something from under the back seat that's called an Atlas, okay? I think Atlas sales are like way down right now. I don't think people are buying those anymore. But we pulled over, and just like in the movies, we took that Atlas, and we put it on the hood of the car, and my dad looked at me and said, okay, you're going to be the navigator, and I'm going to be the driver. We had this whole plan mapped out. We get back in the car, Pastor Andrew, and needless to say, my dad did a great job of driving, and I did a poor job of navigating. And we drove for a few hours, it seemed like in the middle of nowhere, and we were very surprised when we looked up and we saw a sign that said, Welcome to Orlando, which was about an hour and a half away from where we wanted to be. It was about midnight, so we had to backtrack quite a bit. But all of us, from time to time, you've got this plan, you've got this idea of this destination that you're going to. Maybe it's not a vacation for you, maybe it's your life plan. You say, you know what, I'm gonna graduate, I'm gonna get this degree, I'm gonna get this job, I'm gonna meet my spouse, I'm gonna have kids by this age, I'm gonna buy a house, I wanna have this much money in retirement. And somewhere along the way, this grandiose plan you had of what you feel like God had for your life has went sideways. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, all of us have experienced this one way or the other. And so in our passage today in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, we're going to read a story about these guys that were following God's will. They were trained. They were commissioned. They had done everything the right way, and they're trying their best to live for the Lord and do ministry for Jesus, but they find themselves in a situation where the Holy Spirit is telling them no. The Holy Spirit is telling them no. And you know, oftentimes when we think about the Holy Spirit being our comforter and our guide, we think that the Holy Spirit prevents us from doing bad things. And that's true. Sometimes you, when you're a Christian and you are kind of tempted to maybe sin or do something wrong, and you hear that inner voice, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you shouldn't go to that party, or maybe you shouldn't tell that joke or whatever it is. The Holy Spirit often kind of helps guide us from doing wrong things, but the Holy Spirit also guides us from doing things that we think is right. A lot of times the Holy Spirit can actually lead us and guide us in ways that we don't understand at first. But my message today is simply titled this, Closed Doors and Greater Plans. Closed doors and greater plans. You're going to hear me say this main idea over and over again throughout our time together. When God closes doors, he opens up greater plans. You're going to hear me say that a lot. So let's get back to our text. I just want to briefly re-hit verses 6 and 7. It says, they, which by the way is Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. My question for you this morning is, what happens when you feel like the doors close in your life? How appropriate we sang Waymaker this morning about even when we can't see God working, he truly is up to something. But what happens in your life when the doors close? What happens when you've got the training? You graduated from a great university, maybe such as Clemson. You've got the training. You did the internship. You got the degree. You even went and got a nice new haircut, updated your resume, and you go to the job interview, and they tell you no, and it was the dream job for you. What do you do when you're like my wife and I, when you saved up for years to buy your first home and you feel like you've got the down payment and you feel like the credit score is right and you feel like your debt to income ratio is right and you got all these financial things lined up and you put in offer after offer after offer and you keep getting rejected over and over again? Maybe for you, you found yourself in a relationship where you felt like you did all the right things. You honored God, you maintained purity, you tried to keep Jesus the center of your relationship, and for whatever reason, that relationship failed. I want you to consider this morning, that even when God closes a door in your life, He very often is opening up a brand new opportunity and a new plan for you. Because what I have found in my life is, even though I have a plan and I think I've got it all figured out, there's so many times where God knows more to the story. God is privy to details that I'm not aware of, and God saves me from some of my own prayers. I don't know if that's ever happened to you before. Maybe that house you wanted to buy, or that place you were trying to get, or that car you feel like you really wanted to miss out on, maybe that house or that car had some problems that you didn't know about, but God knew about it, and He was trying to prevent you from being in even more harm later on. You know, bless you. You know, I've heard someone say before, I don't know if you guys have seen this, a lot of times it's like a meme or whatever, or just sounds like one of those nice quotes where people say, if God closes a door, He opens up a window. Who's ever heard that before? Just wave at me. You've heard that before. Doesn't that sound nice? If God closes a door, He opens up a window. That'd be a great, like, little motivational poster you can put in a classroom or something, okay? Well, this is what I have found in my own experience. If you come to my house and all the doors are closed and you find a window that's open, if you come in that window, you're going to get shot. This is South Carolina, y'all. I'm just trying to tell you. I don't believe in that statement. When God closes the door, He opens up this even smaller space that you've got to try to discover and you got to try to crawl through. I just believe this. I believe my God is big enough that if He closes a door in my life, I just have to trust Him to believe that He's going to open an even greater door for me, an even greater opportunity for us. I just don't believe in a God that closes the door and then all of a sudden He cracks the window and says, hey, I want you to try to find the window, try to find the right place, and then when you get it, try to squeeze yourself in. I don't believe God works like that at all. When God closes a door, I believe he opens up greater plans, greater opportunities, and another door. But this is what I have found in my own life. This is what I found just through years of following Jesus and serving Him, that God answers every single prayer, but not how you think He should. A lot of times people say, well, I don't feel like God's answering my prayers. I believe He is answering your prayers. He's probably just saying no. And you don't want to admit it. But I have found time and time again, when I pray for something, or if I pray for an opportunity, or if I pray for a door to open, God answers every prayer I've ever prayed, but not how I think He should. I believe God answers prayers in one of three ways. He either says yes, come on, that's the response we're waiting for and we're hoping for. God, would you do this for me? He goes, yes, that's amazing. But a lot of times when we pray prayers for open doors, God doesn't say yes. Sometimes He says no, but a lot of times what I have found is He says not yet. Not yet. But how do you trust God when you don't get what you want? How can you trust God's heart when you can't see His hand? Just like the words of the song we sang earlier, even when I can't see it, God, I know that you're working. These guys in the text today, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were trying to do what they felt like was right by God. They were in this area, which is like modern day Turkey. They were preaching, they were reaching people, they were going to churches, they were just sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus. But they hit this particular area where they said, you know what, we want to go south to Asia. Now, to be clear, Asia in the Bible in this passage, they're not talking about like modern day Asia, like Korea, China, Japan, those types of places. It was more referring to Asia Minor, which was the southern region of Turkey where they were ministering. And so they tried to go south into Asia Minor, and the Holy Spirit told them no. So then they decided, hey, we want to try to go north into the town or the region of Bithynia. And they tried to go that way, and the Holy Spirit told them no again. So they kind of had two options. They could either turn around and go back where they came from, or they could advance even further west to a town called Troas. But how can you trust God's heart when you can't see His hand? I'm reminded of a story in the Old Testament. If you've been around church for a little while, you've probably heard it before. But it's a story of Moses, but I want to focus on Joshua just for a few moments. When the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, I believe that they were seeking God and they were praying that God would deliver them from Egypt. And they prayed and they prayed and prayed, and they prayed for 430 years before the answer changed from not yet to yes. There was a young guy named Joshua who also grew up in slavery in Egypt, and he had to wait and wander in the desert 40 years just like everybody else because of Moses' disobedience. Joshua wasn't the leader, but yet he had to wait on God's timing. God's not yet for them to enter into the promised land eventually turned into a yes when Joshua was allowed to lead the people into the land that they had been promised all those years ago. There's so many stories in the Old Testament of God telling people, hey, not yet, not yet, not yet. You got to be patient. You got to learn. You got to grow. There's things I'm trying to teach you. You know, I think about King David. Long before he was the king or the young guy who slayed the giant, he was the shepherd boy in the fields who was learning. And that's just the Old Testament. There's a guy in the New Testament that even though he loved the Lord and even though he knew a lot about God's word and what God taught, he had to wait 30 years before his public ministry. You know what his name is? Jesus. You guys guessed correctly. Don't you love it when you go to church and the answer is Jesus? Right? That's always good. You know, you ask your kids, what did you learn about today? Jesus. I love it. But once again, these guys were forbidden by the Holy Spirit from doing what they wanted to do. They wanted to travel to Asia Minor. They wanted to travel north, and the Holy Spirit told them no. These guys were on a preaching tour. They're on a mission trip, if you will, a ministry trip. They are literally in this area to preach the gospel to as many people as possible. Yet here they are. They find themselves forbidden by God to preach in these two different places. These guys, they were doing God's assignment. They were, once again, trained, commissioned. But yet God closed the door. And a lot of times God closes the door in our life because he wants to open up something new. I do want to kind of pause and share a little side note in the message today. I want to be really clear on something, that God never uses evil to accomplish his mission. He never uses evil to accomplish his mission. As long as I've been a pastor, I meet people all the time who are far from God, and they say things like this. They say, I just feel like God is punishing me for the things that I've done wrong. I feel like God caused me to experience this tragedy because I've disobeyed him. God never uses evil. He never purposely does evil things in your life because evil is the opposite of God. He never does evil things in your life to accomplish his mission. So I'm talking about things like bankruptcy or divorce or the death of a loved one or a miscarriage or a terminal illness, any other type of evil. I don't believe God causes those things on purpose in your life to try to teach you a lesson. I just believe our God loves us. He's a heavenly Father. He loves us. He cares for us. He's kind to us. But what I have also found is when those traumatic things happen in our life, if we turn it over to the Lord, he can use those things and work it out for our good. And this comes from the scripture, Romans 8:28. It says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So if things aren't good right now, just know that God's still working it out. He's still working it out. But when I talk about closed doors, I'm not talking about evil. I'm not talking about these terrible things that happen in our life, and that's God's punishment for us. But I'm really talking about how Jesus, he describes himself this way. He who is holy, he who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. And that comes out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. But oftentimes, closed doors, they keep us from what we want. And if we're not careful, we can become a victim, this victim mentality, and we say, oh, well, God's blessing other people. He's not blessing me. God must have something against me. I must have done something in my life that's wrong, and that's why God is keeping his blessings from us. But that's the wrong way of thinking. I have a confession to make to you guys this morning. Don't hold it against me. Okay, I told you I grew up in South Georgia, and I grew up in South Georgia in the 90s, which naturally makes me a 90s country music fan. Okay, don't hold it against me. I know everyone has different music tastes. That's all right. But today, I'm going to quote Garth Brooks in my sermon. You guys are like, what is he even talking about? I don't get to quote Garth Brooks very often, but here we go, all right? Garth Brooks once wrote a song, and this was the title of the song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Now, once again, I don't believe that there are unanswered prayers. I believe there are prayers that God just says no or not yet. How many of you guys are thankful that you've prayed for something in the past and the answer was no or not yet, and now looking back, you're thankful that God did not say yes to that prayer? You ever do that? You ever on Facebook and you see somebody from high school that you thought was thebomb.com and you really wanted to go to prom with them and you say, Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you did not answer that prayer in my life. Thank you, God, that you sent me a godly woman or a godly husband compared to who I thought I wanted to be with at some point. once again, when God closes doors, he opens up greater plans. Maybe you find yourself today thinking that your life is not going according to plan, but maybe God has a bigger plan for your life than you actually realize. Maybe you feel like you're stuck at a bad job, but maybe God has you at that job because there's a coworker there that desperately needs to hear about Jesus, and God is waiting on you to have the boldness to share with that coworker before he moves you on to the next job. My message really for us today is that you can trust in God. And I know I'm not super old, but I'm old enough and I've lived enough life to know that time and time again, when I have doubted God, when I've been worried about a situation, when I've been praying and I felt like the answer was no or the answer was not yet, if I just give God a little bit more time, he always seems to work it out for my good. And then when I get older and I look back, I can see, you know what? I didn't understand it at the time when I was going through the trial, when I was going through the storm and it didn't make sense in my life. And I'm wondering, why is all these bad things happening to me? Maybe it's just me that said it. Maybe you guys have this whole plan. Everything's going according to plan in your life. But for me, when things have just gone sideways, I thought, where is God in the middle of this? Why isn't God hearing my prayers? Why isn't God responding back to me? But once again, I've lived long enough to know that if it doesn't seem like it's good, if it doesn't seem like it's right, it often means that God is still working, and I can prove it to you. Let me just tell you a quick little story. By the way, I yell a lot when I preach, so just bear with me, okay? I promise I'm like a nice person in real life, but I get excited, and I get passionate, and I get a little sweaty, so just hang tight. But years ago, I actually had an opportunity to be a pastor in Wisconsin. In Jesus' name, be with her right day, Lord. Just bless her, Lord. She's been through a lot. A lot of winters. Where are you from in Wisconsin? Just yell it back at me.
Racine.
Racine? Okay, I know where that is. And I used to be a pastor in a little town right outside of Milwaukee called Germantown. And I used to live in a little town called Menominee Falls right there. And I was working at this church, and I was trying my best to honor God and do things the right way. This is long before I met my wife, long before I had kids, all this stuff. And I was at this church in Wisconsin for 1 year, and they fired me. It was her church right there. I'm just kidding. It wasn't. I don't think so, maybe. But I got fired from this church. And I know what you're thinking. How does a pastor get fired from a church, okay? Let me just clear the air. I never stole anything. I didn't do anything sinful, illegal, immoral. I did nothing wrong in terms of something against God. But the church that I worked at, I remember towards the end, right as they let me go, my pastor sat me down. He says, "Hey, man, I want to have a serious conversation with you." I said, "What's that?" He says, "I don't feel like you are supposed to be in ministry." He said, "I just don't think you have the skills. I just don't think you have the gifting. I think maybe you misheard God when you felt like he told you to be a pastor." He said, "So I love you, but I think your life would be better if maybe you chose a completely different career path than being a pastor." And at the time, I was about 23 years old. And I don't come from some long list of pastors. Like, it's not like my dad was a pastor or my grandfather. I'll tell a little bit about my story towards the end of our time today. But I pretty much grew up in the trailer park, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. But where I came from, there just wasn't a lot of people that found success in their life. And so it was really disheartening for me because even at 23 years old, I was still barely had enough faith to even be in ministry. And the words that this person said to me was enough to kind of push me over the edge and say, you know what, this person is actually probably right. And so they let me go from the church. I had no idea what to do with my life. I was 23. This was actually the second church that I had worked at. The first church kind of pushed me out, let me go, if you will, as well. And I had no idea what to do. So I called an old buddy of mine. His name's Josh O'Connor. He's actually my pastor now, the pastor of First Assembly in Greenville. And at the time, he was youth pastoring in Central Florida, where I went to college. And I called him. I said, "Pastor Josh, I don't really know what to do with my life. Like, I just got let go. And it's really cold up here in Wisconsin. They do have cheese curds, though, and Culver's, which is amazing. But I just said, I don't know what to do with my life." And he says, "Why don't you come back to Florida and just reset your life? Just get a different job. We'll figure things out together." And so I went back to college. I actually got a job working at the school because someone told me if you work at the college, you can take classes for free. So my undergrad was in Bible. And I said, "I've got to get a different degree because a Bible degree you can't do much with that if you're not in ministry, and I'm obviously not cut out for ministry. And so for three or so years, I just went to school, and I actually got a completely different degree. I got my master's degree in business administration. So I just was going a completely different path, and my plan was just to graduate and to move, actually to kind of like the upstate Charlotte area, because I always thought it was really beautiful. And I was like, I'm going to get a job working for a business, and I'll be the best church volunteer that I can ever be. But if you've ever graduated from anything, you know when you go to graduation, they assign your seat in like a specific order, because, you know, they have to read your name and say, you know, Stephen Bailey, walk across the stage. And so in this graduation, they told me where I had to sit. And I sat down next to this like super cute girl, really cute. And I was like, I'm not going to talk to this girl. That's weird. She's here to graduate. I'm not going to bother her. And all of a sudden, the girl turns to me. She says, are you excited to graduate? I said, girl, I am now. I am excited now. And I'll just skip to the end of the story. The woman that they put next to me at graduation is the woman encouraging me here today. It's my wife, Crimson. And We've been together 8 years, married for 7 years. And I shared that story because, truthfully, meeting Crimson changed the entire trajectory of my life. Not just in like relationships, and obviously we've built a family together, but it wasn't long after that the church I was attending in Florida asked me. They said, hey, we're looking for a very part-time youth pastor. Would you be one to help us? And Crimson and I ended up helping that youth ministry, and that really got me back into ministry and just changed the trajectory of my life, and different events happened. I don't have enough time to share everything, but it brought me back to the upstate where I wanted to be anyway, and now I'm actually planting a church in Powdersville, not too far around the road. Praise God for that. But the reason I want to share that story with you is when I was going through it in Wisconsin and I got fired from that church, I was devastated. And I found myself in a place going, God, what do you want me to do? God, I went to Bible college. I responded to your call on my life for ministry. I did everything I could to try to honor you. I got the training. I got the degree. I got the experience. I get hired at my first church. They kind of pushed me out. They let me go. I take another job in Wisconsin trying to reset my life. And 12 months later, they end up firing me from the church. God, what is going on? There was several other things that happened, and I'll save you the sob story, but several different things that happened, even in my experience in Wisconsin, that was just really discouraging to me. But through it all, I have learned that you can trust in God, because that what looked like just a devastating closed door in my life turned out to be a plan, an even greater opportunity that surpassed any and every expectation I had, and meeting my spouse and being able to get back into ministry. But once again, these guys, they find themselves in a place in our text today, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they found themselves on this ministry tour. They're on a preaching tour, and they're trying their best to figure out how should we respond when God tells us no. No, you can't go south into Asia Minor. No, you can't go north and into Bithynia. You can't go there. Pretty much your options are you can turn around or you can keep going west to somewhat of an unknown area, to Troas. But once again, when God closes doors, he opens up even greater plans. You know, I'm reminded of one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It's really short, but this has been somewhat of a life verse for me every time I feel like my plan doesn't go according to what I want. And it comes from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. This is what it says. Really easy to remember. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The heart of man plans his way, but it's the Lord that establishes his steps. So many times we have a plan. We feel like we know what we want to do. We know what we want to, we know where we want to go, what job we want, what time in our life. I want to be married by this age. I want to have kids by this age. I want to do all these things. We have our plan, but ultimately it's the Lord that establishes our steps. You know, once again, Paul wanted to travel to Asia. He wanted to reach people for Jesus. There was nothing wrong with that plan. It was a wonderful plan. It was a great plan. It just wasn't God's next step for him. God had a plan for Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Going to Asia was a great plan. It just wasn't God's next step. What's interesting is that their plan was actually a really good one, because when you go look at the history of what was going on, there was a road, a really popular road, that went through all of Asia Minor. It was kind of a newer road. It was really wide. It was really well traveled, which made it really safe. And there was thousands and thousands and thousands of people along this road. They could have went down this road and reached just tons and tons and tons of people. Yet God told them, no, Asia would have to wait. And what I have found to be true is how we respond to God's no truly reveals our commitment to Him. You know, anybody can be excited about Jesus and excited about church when things are going well in your life, and you got the job you want, or you got this, you know, you got a beautiful family, and everything just seems to be going really well for you. Everybody can be excited and praise God when things are going really well. But who has the faith to praise God when things aren't going really well? I love what Pastor Andrew said when he was kind of coming up and closing out worship, just about how when you're going through tough times, you have to make that choice to worship God anyway. You have to learn to trust God anyway, because what I have found to be true, and this comes from Scripture as well, is the testing of our faith is what produces perseverance in our life. The testing of your faith is what produces perseverance. A lot of times what I have found is God has something really big for you later on, but He knows in order to get there, you're also going to have to go through some tough times before you can achieve what you want to achieve. So sometimes earlier in your life, God allows you to maybe go through some things, or maybe God is working in your life so that you can learn to trust Him, so that when the bigger opportunity comes, and that bigger opportunity takes more faith than you could ever dream or realize, maybe God wants to know that He can trust you, and He wants to know that you trust in Him. I truly believe in my whole heart, there's no way I would have enough faith to plant a campus right now if God had not shown Himself to be faithful to me time and time again throughout my ministry. And I still know it's not going to be easy, that type of thing, but I know that God is with me because He has proven Himself faithful even when I wasn't faithful back to them. But when you read this text, it's so interesting. When they heard no from the Holy Spirit, and when they felt like Jesus told them no, these guys, they weren't mopey. They weren't down on themselves. They weren't like, oh no, what are we going to do? God forgot about us. How are we going to respond to this? No, there's no mention of that whatsoever. It just says the next thing that they did is they went down to the town of Troas. And as a result of their obedience, God used these men in a completely unexpected and powerful way. They couldn't go north. They couldn't go south. They could turn around, or they could continue west to the town of Troas. And it was there in that town that they had this powerful vision. Listen to this. Acts chapter 16, verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And while they were there, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. They go down to Troas. Paul has this vision, and it's this man in Macedonia, which, by the way, is even further west than Troas. Macedonia would be in modern-day Europe. So it was like, hey, you're going to leave kind of this Middle Eastern area of Turkey, and I want you to go even further into Europe. This man of Macedonia is calling them, urging them, say, come over and help us. But I want you to catch something from the text today. It's so easy to miss, but I want you to see it, that the vision that God had for Paul and Silas and Timothy, the vision to go even further west into Macedonia, the vision for their life came after their obedience to Him. So many times we say, God, would you speak to me? Would you show me this? Would you show me my next step? Would you show me what I'm supposed to do? And God is just waiting on our obedience from the last thing that He told us to do. I believe that God opens up these greater doors for you, but it's only after you have shown yourself thine approved and that you have been obedient to what God has asked you and instructed you to do. These guys, they receive these disappointing news. You can't go north. You can't go south. So what are they going to do? Are they going to be obedient to the Spirit's leading and continue to Troas? Or are they going to be mopey and say, well, I guess God has given up on me and He didn't want me to be a pastor or a missionary anyway. Let's turn around and go back home, boys. But they were obedient to the Lord's leading, and they go down to Troas. And it was there that they received a vision for what was next. C.S. Lewis has this really powerful quote, and he says this, that obedience is the key that opens every door. Obedience is the key that opens every door. Have you guys ever heard of the love languages before? All right, this book's been out a while. It's the love languages. Okay, a few people. And if you're unfamiliar, the love languages is pretty much a guy named Gary Chapman. He says everybody gives love or receives love in one of five different ways, okay? And I'm probably going to forget all five. But some people, it's like spending quality time. That's how they show love, quality time with someone they care about. For some people, it's physical touch, like it's a hug, it's a kiss, it's whatever. Other people, it's acts of service. So, you know, you took out the garbage for somebody or you cleaned out their car. Or the fourth one is words of affirmation. So you're telling the person, hey, you did a good job, I love you. And then the last one is gifts, okay? It's like you just love receiving gifts. It doesn't have to be a big gift, but maybe it's a small gift, okay? My wife's love language is quality time, among others. Quality time. She wants to spend a lot of just quality time with me, and I have found that quality time means I'm not on my phone. That's really the definition of it. Put your phone down, spend some quality time with me. Me, my love languages, I'm just happy to get love anyway. Like, I don't discriminate. Like, I'll take all five. You want to buy me something? Spend time with me? I don't really care. I'll take it. Okay. So let me explain a concept to you. I truly believe that God's love language, if you want to show God that you love him, God's love language is obedience. It's obedience. How do I know this? In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, anyone who loves me, this is John 14, starting in verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All of this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. How we respond and obey God's commands reveals our commitment to him. The greatest indicator of your love for God is your obedience to his will. And how do you respond when he tells you no or not yet? Once again, before Joshua walked in the promised land, he walked with the Lord and learned to hear his voice, read his word. Before David led the nation of Israel, he was just a shepherd boy that worshiped God in the fields and learned to hear the voice of God. And before Paul, in our text, was an apostle, he was a Pharisee who studied God's word day and night and heard his voice on the way to Damascus. If you want to know God's plan for your life, if you want to make the next or the right next step, if you're wondering what God's plan is for your life, you have to know how to hear God's voice. That's why every pastor, every Sunday school teacher, every small group leader you've ever had in your entire experience of being a Christian, that's why over and over again people tell you to wear blue in the face that you have to pray and you have to read your Bible. We say pray and read your Bible. We're not telling you that just for the sole purpose of you spending time with a book that has ink and paper on it. But we're telling you this because this book is filled with story after story after story of people who have been faithful to God. God has been faithful to them. It's filled with stories of people who were disappointed, who were far from God, who were sinners, who were murderers, who had speaking problems. But God used them in a supernatural way because they learned to hear God's voice. People so often say, I just want to hear God speak to me. Friend, God has already spoken to you through his word. Why would God reveal something new to you if you can't even pick up your Bible and read what he's already spoken to you? And that's not in a judgmental way. There's been times in my life where I've struggled to read God's word. I understand that. I'm not trying to beat you up today. If maybe you're new to the faith and you're like, hey, I don't even know where to start in reading God's word, Pastor Andrew can point you in the right direction if that's where you find yourself today. But we have to know God's word. We have to learn his voice if we want to know his plan. Another proverb that I love, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. In other words, in all of your ways, be listening to God's voice and acknowledging him and his presence in your life, and he will make your path straight or straight your paths. But when you're following the plan of God, dead ends are never mistakes. When God closes doors, he often opens up greater plans. My last verse in our passage today, this is what it says, and our keys player can go home, go ahead and come up whenever you're ready. But it says this, verse 10, Acts chapter 16. When he saw the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want you to notice in our entire text today, verses 6 through 9, every time the author of this book writes, he says, they tried to go here, they tried to go to Asia Minor, they tried to go here, but something powerful happens in verse 10, and the part of speech changes. Instead of they tried to go here. Verse 10, it says, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You know, it appears that God not only closed the doors in Asia, but he also opened the door for them to continue on west to Europe. But he also arranged something really powerful and really significant in the Bible that is so often missed. You see, it was in the town of Troas that Paul and Silas and Timothy, they met up with a new character. Somebody in the book of Acts that would prove to be really important. They tagged up with a guy that they met in this town, and his name is Luke. If you don't know very much about Luke, I'll give you just a couple insights. Luke actually wrote the entire book of Acts. Luke also wrote an entire gospel, the story of Jesus, and he spent so much time with Paul and the disciples and the apostles that even though Luke never met Jesus personally, he learned enough about him and his stories. He actually wrote the longest account of the gospel of Jesus in his book, The Gospel of Luke. And I just think it's so interesting that these guys, they felt like they should go north and the answer was no. And they felt like they should go south and the answer was no. And they so easily could have looked around and say, why is God rejecting us? And why is God not answering our prayers? And I thought we were on a preaching tour. How come we can't do what we want to do? But maybe, just maybe, God wanted them to say no to this town and no to this town so that they could continue west to a town called Troas so they could meet a physician, a doctor named Luke, who would actually document all of their missionary journeys, and he would write down every single thing that happened. And because of Luke, we get the actual book of Acts in Scripture, and we get the Gospel of Luke. Would we have those books had these guys not been obedient to Troas or obedient to the Holy Spirit to go to Troas? I'm not entirely sure, but I just know that God used the not yet in their life to an eventual yes. And by the way, they eventually did go into these areas. They eventually did go into Asia Minor on their third missionary journey. We've kind of been talking about the second missionary journey today. But my big takeaway that I want you to understand is that Paul had a plan. He had this understanding of what God had called him to do. He thought he knew the next steps. I want to go into this area. I'm going to preach the gospel. I want to share with thousands of people. And God's answer for him was a no, or at least, or not yet, not yet. You got to realize that Paul, he had this vision, he had this dream that he was going to reach the nations. Paul wanted to take the message of Jesus and he wanted to spread it to as many people who were willing to listen. Paul had a plan for his life that he was going to reach the nations, but God had a much bigger plan for Paul than Paul realized. Paul wanted to reach the nations, but God wanted Paul to reach generations. You got to understand, half of the New Testament that we have, it comes from a guy named Paul who wrote letters to all the churches that he visited on his missionary journey. So Paul, in his rejection or in the God's no or not yet for his life, he so easily could have just said, man, God is leading me a different direction. God's rejected me. Why is he not blessing me? Why is he not giving me the rest of his plan? But God had a bigger plan for Paul that he even realized, because millions and millions of people have read this book, Acts of the Apostles, and millions of people, if not billions of people over the history of our world, has read books in the New Testament, books like Colossians and Philippians and Galatians and Corinthians and so many other books that Paul wrote to the churches on his missionary journey. And so I want to encourage you with this today, that your life may not be going according to plan. It may not look like what you think it should look like, but maybe, just maybe, God's got an even bigger plan for your life. You know, I started off by telling you that I'm from Georgia, not to hold it against me, so hopefully you'll honor me in that way today. But I grew up in just really a lower middle class, poor family. My mom was married four times by the time I turned 12 years old, just divorce after divorce after divorce. Didn't really have a great relationship with my dad or my stepdads or anything like that, but at least I had a mom who was willing to take me to church. And even though she didn't stay all the time, she would take me to church, and Jesus completely changed my life because of a ministry of a small little Assemblies of God church church in the middle of nowhere in South Georgia. And when God changed my life as a kid, and then later on, I felt a call in the ministry at youth camp when I was 12 years old. I told God, I said, God, I don't understand all the bad things that have happened in my life. God, I don't understand why my parents went through so many divorces. I don't understand why my sister is far away from you and she's on drugs. God, I don't understand what you're doing in my life. And God said, would you just give it to me? Would you just give all this stuff to me? I don't believe God caused all these bad things to happen, but when I gave it to him, he put it all together and he worked it out for my good. And because Jesus changed my life, I made a commitment to him when I was 12 years old. I said, God, I'll take every opportunity I can to preach your word and to share about Jesus. When Pastor Andrew called my Pastor Josh and said, hey, we're looking for someone, you know, could one of your guys come fill in? I said, I would love to do it because I love telling other people about what God has done in my life. Praise God for that. Thank you. But this message that Paul was so desperate to share with other nations is the same message that I want to share just briefly with you now, that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth and he lived a perfect, sinless life. He never did anything wrong. He never made any mistakes, but his whole life, his whole ministry was just being a blessing to other people and praying for people and providing miracles and just encouraging people, telling them about a kingdom of God, a kingdom where they can serve the Lord and not be so concerned about the problems that they see in their day-to-day today, but instead they could trust a God that loves them and cares for them. Paul spent the rest of his life sharing this message, and they wrote it all down, and we get half the New Testament because of it. And his scriptures and writings on what Jesus has done and these missionary journeys have changed the world. And it's the same message that I want to share with you today, and it's the same invitation I want to give to you as well, that you may find yourself in a place where life is not going according to plan, and you saying, you know what, Pastor Stephen, I just need to trust in the Lord today. I haven't really been walking with God. I need to put my life in God's hands because he can do it better than I can do it. And so I want to take the next moment or so, and I want to lead you in a prayer, and then I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Andrew. But would you be so kind to just close your eyes and bow your heads for the next few moments? But if you find yourself in that place today, you say, you know what? If I'm being honest, I feel like I'm not as close to God as I want to be. Maybe you've made a decision to be a Christian, but you really haven't been honoring God with how you've been living your life. Maybe you find yourself in church today saying, you know what, I've never even made that decision. I just want to give you an opportunity to make the best decision that you could ever make in your entire life. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to call you forward. I would never do anything to embarrass you, but I do want to know who I'm praying for today. Could you just wave at me if you say, you know what, Pastor, today's the day I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to just pray that prayer. I want to commit my life to him. I want to trust in God, even though things may not make sense in my life right now. I want to put my trust in him. Would you just wave at me so I know who I'm praying for, from the front to the back, left to the right. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask everybody to just repeat this prayer after me, but can you just do this? Can you say, Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. Come on, I want to hear you guys. I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again. And today's the day I'm going to commit my life to following you. Come into my heart and make me new. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us, you can do so by emailing us at media@radiantchurchsc.com or visit one of our social accounts on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes, and give us a 5-star rating on the podcast platform that you listen to. We hope you have an amazing rest of your day.